You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Everybody, and welcome to Ring Post Radio. I'm your host, Ryan Knight. And with me, as always, is the man, the myth, the legend, Scotty Edwards. Scotty, I haven't done this in a couple weeks, I feel like. The only show, welcome to Ring Post Radio, the only show where halfway through the intro you realize, oh, this probably should have done the Ring Post Radio Knights music, because this is technically a Knights. But welcome, everybody, to the show. I'm Ryan. That's my co-host, Scotty. Scotty, welcome to the show. How are you doing on this fine Sunday night?
Doing pretty good. I watched a total of four matches for this show today. Four. So, you know, busy weekend, busy week, but it'll be a shorter show today.
Yeah.
And the listeners will deal with it. So,
there you go. That is certainly true. It's it's like, it's to a certain degree, it's like I feel bad that we have a shorter show, but the same breath, it's Labor Day weekend. You and I were both busy. I have to leave at like 7:30. You were busy all weekend because you're classically busy for family reasons, of course, tradition reasons, of course, busy for Labor Day weekend. But at the same time, Scotty, there was also not a real lot for us to talk about, I feel like.
No.
Maybe we had Ring of Honor. We have Stardom news. And, you know, WWE's Clash in Paris was this afternoon, but like, and it just ended like five minutes ago. But like, you and I didn't want to talk about it. So no, it was just sort of like, what are we talking about here? What are we talking about here? And we both sort of decided, you know what, this is probably gonna be a short one. And, we'll see how short it is, because I know you and I tend to get long-winded for sure. So we'll see how short it goes.
That's why I made sure to watch at least four matches. So like, I have something to talk about.
And of course, talking about the four matches of Ring of Honor 0 Hour, correct?
No. I did not watch those. Darn. Not care. It was nice to learn that it was all on YouTube, though. That was a nice surprise.
Well, yeah, so that was a surprise to, I think, Tony Khan as well. I mean, we'll talk about that when it gets to the Ring of Honor bit. I didn't watch it live, but apparently what happened live is their streaming service just didn't work. And halfway through the show, or like, it kept going in and out or something. I don't know exactly. I didn't watch it live. But ultimately, like, I think it was like near the beginning of the Lee Moriarty Shaywa match, where Tony Khan was just like, all right, it's going to go full on YouTube starting from here. And you know what? We're going to upload the full thing tomorrow. And anyone that has Ring Honor Club, you'll get a month for free credit. So we apologize. And look, it's on us. And they're giving everybody credit. So, no compliments to them. But that's it's nice that it's now on YouTube. So that's
good for us, I guess. I mean, I saw a lot of praise for the show once I finally, like, scrolled through my feed, so I was like, okay, well, at least like I'm now excited to watch parts of this. And I literally only watched the highest rated matches on Cage Match, because like I don't know how to attack this. I only have so much time, and yeah, I'm excited to talk about what I did watch at least. So you know, that's one way to look at it.
That's very true. Well, of course, thank everybody for listening to us on this fair episode of Ring Post Radio. Shout out to Zach Manger in the chat. Always, it's like he preloads these comments, because as soon as we go live, that comment's there. Zach Manger in the chat. National Eat Outside Day and National South Carolina Day. Scotty, do you have any memories? I'm going to start pulling this in to do topics. These, you know how like when you want to go to like an improv show or something, you pull in things from the audience. Word associate a little bit. Scotty, do you have any memories or word association things in your head when you think of eating outside or South Carolina, the state?
Literally zero.
Great. Immediate first time segment.
I mean, this is like difficult one to like have anything for. I've never been to South Carolina, so I guess that's my memory for South Carolina.
Sure.
I got nothing. I'm sorry. Eating outside, I guess, like, I don't know. I like
a picnic. Have you ever gone picnicking, Scotty? You don't seem like kind of guy.
God, no. Go picnicking. Between that and people like loving to eat like sandwiches on the beach.
Are you not a sandwich on the, like a peanut butter sandwich on the beach?
Buddy, I fucking hate the beach.
All right. Here's the topic. Thank you, Zach. Here's the topic. What do you mean you hate? Is it because you're Boston and it, you know, it's
do sand is bad Boston?
Or not?
Sand Boston, is bad. No. Sand is bad.
What is this chaos? What are you talking about? Sand is bad.
Sand sucks.
In what way?
It gets everywhere.
What are you, Anakin Skywalker?
It is everywhere. It's hot. I've been told that many times. I hate sand. Move on.
It's coarse. It's rough.
It's terrible.
I like one number one, 100% disagree. Obviously, growing up in Maryland, I went to Ocean City, Maryland frequently. Right on the borderline between Ocean City and Delaware. Went to Bethany Beach a bunch. Sand, fun, obviously, gets everywhere. But beaches in Maryland and Delaware were very nice, very clean, little to no shells. I've been to, speaking of South Carolina, Scotty, I've been to North Carolina, similar beaches, and they have a lot of shells, all the crabs walking around, all that sort of stuff. So it's a little, you can't really walk around with your bare feet. Up into the wave.
You will not convince me to pivot from my take.
What's that?
Just letting you will not convince me to pivot from my take on sand sucks.
I will also say there's something very, I'm not a, you probably know this. I'm not a very nostalgic person.
No.
But there's something is nostalgic about going to the beach, having some peanut butter sandies.
That's the problem because there is sand in the peanut butter sandwich.
But there's it adds like I mean I'm not gonna say a different kind of it adds a crunch. That's a little bit
I'm
of a crunch.
Cutting you off.
You know, you wash off your hands, but of course there's still a little sand on your fingers, and you just eat the peanut butter sandwich. It's just there's a little bit of crunch, and it is there's something nostalgic there.
This is crazy.
You're the one. Absolutely. You're the one that says you hate sand and you hate the beach.
Yeah, but you just said you liked eating the sand. Like that's what you just
said. I said I like eating peanut butter sandwiches with tiny sand specks in it, sir. So you hate the sand. Do you like the waves? Do you like the water?
I don't like the beach.
This is insane. You're insane. You can't go over here and call me an insane man when you
beach
say you're
bad.
Like, what are the Massachusetts beaches like? Is there anything like different about them? I guess I don't know if you've been to other
crappy
beaches,
but... like I don't know. I don't like the beach, and the fact that you are somehow trying to make this an extended conversation about the beach is driving me insane.
Oh, I was going to say my word association bit was actually going to be in South Carolina because it made me, I don't know if it's necessarily South Carolina as well, but Carolina in general made me think of barbecue and Carolina barbecue. And I want to hear some, do you have any big barbecue takes, Scotty? Because
you're not going to like this one either.
Are you going to tell me you hate barbecue? Is that what it's going to about to be? Because this is, it gonna, depends I mean, on the look, in your defense, okay, so, Massachusetts, I can't imagine has good barbecue in any capacity.
Okay, so it's like I don't like certain barbecue.
Okay, hit me.
Like I don't like, I'm not a big smoked something fan.
Insane. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, that's it. That's all I got.
Smoked, most barbecue is smoked, not all barbecue.
You've brought up most conversation points today for me that I don't enjoy. Could have brought up anything else, but no, you brought up beaches and barbecue.
All right. Well, I guess the next topic.
I had a barbecue yesterday. You're welcome.
What'd you have? Hit me. What'd you have? I had barbecue, I think, 2 days ago, actually, now I think about it.
I had a sausage, onion, and peppers.
That's barely barbecue.
Well, I also had some ribs.
Okay, that's barbecue. There you go. Yeah, that's barbecue.
That is barbecue.
Was the sausage that was just a dog, right?
What?
So you said sausage, pepper, onions. Was that on a bun with like a dog, or was
it on
like
this nice roll? Like this nice roll.
Okay, so kind of hot doggy.
You're about to learn. No, it wasn't a hot dog.
I didn't say it was a hot dog. I said it was hot doggy.
You said hot doggy.
Hot doggy.
Hot doggy.
I love barbecue. I'm a big barbecue guy. Atlanta barbecue is pretty good because it's like amalgamation of all the barbecues. There's this great place. It's like Texas and Carolina barbecue mixed together. It's great. Texas barbecue is also good. Carolina barbecue. I don't like the sauce as much because it's more vinegary based. And I'm not a vinegar guy. But I love barbecue, Scotty. And you have to come down to Atlanta. I will treat you to proper, good barbecue. And lucky for you, Scotty, Atlanta is a landlocked city, major city, capital city with no beaches to be told of. So you'll be safe here.
Good.
Good. Good. Well, let's get to the proper show. Now that we wasted a bunch of time. Look, baby, we have a smaller show. I'm trying to give people something a little different. So let's talk about Ring of Honor. Of course, Death Before Dishonor was the show that took place at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on Friday. Last Friday, specifically, August 29th. Scotty, you watched a little bit of the show. I watched the full show, like I already mentioned. The show had some streamer issues on Honor Club, so it was free. It is free currently on YouTube. I don't know if they'll ever take it down, but I doubt it. But it is currently free on YouTube, Scotty. Anyone can watch it right now. You don't have to pay for it, so that's pretty fun. It sucks for them to potentially lose out on money that people that would hear about the show, but you know, they get those YouTube bucks, yep. And people probably watch the full show. You know, I assume most people, but at the very least, probably 1, 2, 3, 4 matches or so that got high reviews, high raves. Yep. And yeah, I think that's pretty much the table setting before we kind of go match by match to a certain degree here, Scotty. I did want to bring up one little bit here because I was thinking about it while watching Ring of Honor, and you know, I want to get your thoughts on it, Scotty. Is that, you know, a long-standing thing about Ring of Honor nowadays is that no one watches it, right? No one really cares about Ring of Honor. And to a certain, everyone understands when I say that. It's like, oh yeah, I don't watch it. I think there's I don't know what the numbers are, right? Because it's all behind Honor Club, but
right.
I assume. There's a good portion of people that you know will go on to, I guess we could kind of figure out the numbers if we go to the YouTube for the Ring of Honor video. Now that I think
no way you could figure out the numbers because people have probably heard about a match or two, and that's made way more people watch it than they would have if it was on Honor Club.
Yeah, the stream that happened halfway through the show with 2.5 hours on that thing was 181,000 viewers. And the full show has 138,000, and who knows how many people bought Honor Club to watch it. So, you know, we know right. At least 100,000 people watched, I don't know, a second, a minute. I forget what YouTube second. Does, but they count as a view.
One singular second.
I think it's a couple seconds, maybe 5 or 10 seconds. I don't know. But anyways, so I was thinking about it, like, you know, everyone complains. No one watches Honor Club. Honor Club is not as important. To compare to AEW or anything else, right? And I think there's a good amount of people that jump in for the big shows, Scotty. And, you know, I think you and I obviously have said those talking points before, and we've said that before, and that's obviously an issue. But it also made me reflect on, like, Ring of Honor in the Sinclair era, and how I feel like no one other than you and I were watching the Ring of Honor TV and being like, dude, yeah, goddamn, you see this Lucha match that's happening on Ring of Honor TV, baby?
Exactly, which is funny because I know a lot of Ring of Honor TV now is like a CMLL spotlight match every week, you know? So, I mean...
We were right.
I never hear anything about them, though. So, like, I never go out of my way to see them.
Maybe that's something we have to do is go back and watch some of it because apparently I have to imagine it's good. I mean, it's CMLL, baby. And they're fighting WWE for promotion of the year at this point.
What?
Well, in terms of, like, ticket sales. And
of the year, not... actual promotion of the year.
Yes, we all know it.
WWE is in every which way awful this year.
Yes, agreed. And to that point, CMLL be getting my vote. but I think that, like, to a certain degree, it's like, yes, most people don't care about Ring of Honor because there's a lot of TV, no one watches the TV. But I thought about, like, you know, in the Sinclair era, I don't think that many people watch the TV either. I think a lot of people probably just jumped into the pay-per-views. And I was thinking, Scotty, you know what's one way for Ring of Honor to really turn that thought process around and to just be more relevant to the modern wrestling fan? And, you know, maybe make some money, hopefully, you know, make some money for the old Ring of Honor program while also...
I'm going to guess go on YouTube.
Go on YouTube, perhaps, maybe. I was going to say very simply, Scotty, have more pay-per-view events. Ring of Honor, when it got bought by TK, became three, maybe four. I think it's just three pay-per-views a year. Whereas pre Tony Khan buying out, in the Sinclair, I think roughly had 12 a year. You know, probably like 10 to 12 or something like that. And it's just like, you know, no one watches the Ring of Honor TV, but they'll pop in for these pay-per-views. In the modern sense, why aren't we doing more of these Ring of Honor special events? I kind of don't understand why, you know, if you once a month, you just, you know, buy, maybe, you know, go to a smaller arena, like a 2300 nearby the show, the town you're in, a little cheaper, you know, arena price, right? And just run a Ring of Honor show. Why don't we just do that? I kind of don't understand why Tony Khan isn't doing that. Other than, you know, just time and schedule and money and all these sort of things. But, you know, I think to a certain degree, it would help make Ring of Honor more relevant. It could help with that sort of fighting off TNA and WWE and all these sort of things. I guess it could hurt it because of, you know, saturating the market and all that stuff. But like, one of the things that people complain about Ring of Honor is no one cares about it. And the only difference, I think, is just that they really just have less of these pay-per-views a year. What do you kind of think about that? Because I was kind of reflecting on that as I was watching Death Before Dishonor yesterday.
As long as Bandido's champion, yes, I would do more pay-per-views.
I think that's actually legitimately a great call. Build more pay-per-views on the back of it. I'll stretch it to Athena as well.
And I also think it would allow you not to have to like pack these shows with so many extra matches just to get your main Ring of Honor talents on these pay-per-views, right? You know, I think that's always a major downside. I also think like we need to pick one way or the other with Ring of Honor. We need to fully commit or give up. Like, because like announcing the majority of the card the day of is not a good strategy. It's just not, and you can't convince me it is.
Yeah,
that's just how I feel. That's how I felt watching this unfold, especially over the past week. Like, I went to the card to read it, right?
Yeah,
like, oh, what was on 0 hours? I was like, I don't know when any of this was announced. Like, I didn't even know the Kingdom were active currently, and I was like, I saw their names, you know, like it. That's the problem with Ring of Honor right now, is there isn't a full focus. I mean, the story came out this week that like we announced the Pure tournament in April, but it all came together this week.
Well, yes. I mean, I think Tony Khan clarified that's like a lot of injuries, a lot of
Tony Khan also issues. Put Shuri got injured in her first match in AEW. That's not what happened. I can just tell you that now. She's been hurt. She was leaving already to get surgery. So egregious comment by him on that one, but like
I think he got what was it Mecha Wolfed. Do you remember that? Do you remember that deal? The 205 Live deal.
Yeah. Like that's the thing for me, it's like I think we just kind of like have to make a decision here in terms of like, what is Ring of Honor? What do we want Ring of Honor to be? Because I don't think he knows, I don't think they know, but what I do know is if you have Bandido as your world champion doing what he is doing on each of these shows, and you have Athena for as long as she's still doing this, you gotta take advantage of that more. Like, this should not be the last pay-per-view of the year for Ring of Honor.
It's definitely not.
Is it not?
Did they announce it? We have Final Battle at the end of the year as well.
I don't know why I always think Death Before Dishonor is the last one, but that's good. I would even argue you should get another in there. You know,
Final Battle is in December, just for clarity.
Like, there has yet to be a new creative idea with Ring of Honor since Tony Khan's bought it, right? He likes to try to bring out the tradition of the brand, which I think is fine. But there is a problem to that, I think, and maybe you're disagree with this or not, but like, there should be an emphasis on maybe, you know, a brand new pay-per-view for Ring of Honor. There's nothing new about it, and I think that would be a fun aspect. I like it.
Agree with this. Go ahead.
Like, there is nothing new. He's taken away pay-per-views, right? Like the Best in the World pay-per-view's gone, which was always a signature pay-per-view for them as well. Add a new show, add a brand new show, not an old show, a brand new show, at least one, and continue to put emphasis on the youth that you're rostering. Like, listen, I don't like Hook, okay? Don't really care for him. But where should Hook be wrestling right now? Ring of Honor. When he walked out there, I was like, yes, you should put him on here, not AEW, because AEW, despite the injuries they're dealing with now, is overinflated with talent to the point where you can't have these youthful guys always on there.
Sure.
Overinflated in a good way, admittedly.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great roster.
Right. But like, that was my main takeaway. Like, you're putting Queen Aminat on here. That's what you should be doing. If you're not going to push her there, push her here.
Especially his style of booking for AEW is these sort of people will just lose over and over and over again, like Queen Aminata, for example. And then eventually he'll push them to win. You could do that, and then on Ring of Honor have them win, you know?
Right. Exactly. Like, I don't know. There's so many options, I think, to, unless you're going to do something with that person of note, putting them in Ring of Honor. Listen, I don't like Sammy Guevara, but I think putting him on here, if he's not going to do anything on AEW television, makes sense. That's why they have. That's why Roosh is here now. Like, there are wrestlers that don't get serious attention. It's very fascinating, though, because like then you have Bandido, who is now a champion on both brands uniquely. So I think there is an emphasis on, like, I was watching this show, and I saw someone wearing a Speedball headband. And I was like, if you're going to do pay-per-views, why not just put Jet Speed in a really cool tag match on the show? Like, why don't you just do Jet Speed in the Kingdom? You know, like,
I agree.
That would have been great. Instead, it's the Kingdom. I don't even know who the Kingdom faced. I'm not going to lie to you. Was it Lee Johnson and Blake Christian?
Yes. Going their new tag team name of The Swirl.
So what I will say about that, and I'll give credit for that, is that is at least a real match, because those two teams are Ring of Honor teams. But like, that's my point. Like, bring certain groups or people down here that can really get something from this. I think that is always so important, something that maybe is missing from this overall show.
Yeah.
Or brand.
Yeah. I mean, we also just talked about how like Ring of Honor TV is like also getting like basically like a CMLL match on each show sort of thing.
Yeah. And I know like running against Super Viernes on the same night as the Grand Prix is very difficult, which is what I realized when I was going to pitch it. But yeah, more CMLL is always welcome. Obviously.
You can't get one more CMLL guy. I mean, you already have Hechicero with, I think, probably a dual contract. But, you know, you're sending AEW guys over. You can't just get one more CMLL guy. You can't throw me a, I don't know, get Barbaro Cavernario on this freaking thing. I don't know. Throw him on here. Cerrone Jr. back yet? I'm still waiting.
I would say no to these, admittedly.
Yeah. I think I do wonder if the things we're sort of talking about, I think what you're talking about is more of the booking thing and just highlighting that. And to a certain degree, they are, but they also aren't. Like the opener of Hologram and Ishii versus the Premier Athletes is like, that's not really.
Who
like,
wants to see the Premier Athletes?
Yeah. And they're like, I think like Tony Nese is now like producing and coaching in the back. So
him and Angelico are both coaches.
Yeah. Like, so it's like, is that really, I mean, is it's going to be a solid opener for sure. And it was, but it's just like, is that really going to do anything? Like you really want to see like the Premier Athletes versus, I don't know. I mean, to a degree, the Swirl, right? To a degree, Blake Christian and Lee Johnson, two guys that are like getting, you know, trained and learned and all these sort of things. And, you know, that's not going to be the most interesting of matches, but I think that's definitely going to be a solid match that all of these people are going to try to work hard on and they can learn more. I mean, granted, also the same breath as Swerve can learn a lot with the Kingdom, but I digress here. But yeah, I do wonder like the pay-per-view thing that I was bringing up. I think a part of that is could just be the additional expense. I wonder if the holdup with that is the reason they're doing the lower pay-per-views a year is the additional expenses. And the reason we're not getting more is because they don't have a TV deal. Like, you know, fairly quickly, you know, the idea with AEW was that we're going to do 4 pay-per-views a year, 1 a quarter, right? And then kind of quickly it turned into, we can do more than this. And I think because they were able to do that because they had these great TV deals, you know? As soon as, like, the pandemic, right before the pandemic, they got a brand new TV deal that gave them way more money. And then they started doing bigger shows, adding 5 shows, 6 shows, 8 shows, and just started bumping up there. And I think that's a big part of Ring of Honor, is that they seemingly have to keep their expenses low here, and they're not going to do more shows. I'm going to guess, not cost effective for Ring of Honor to do more shows. To which then, Scotty, maybe the solution for that is to have AEW in general do more of these residencies.
Sure.
You know, to keep the whole, even though the 2 separate companies, the whole thing less expensive. But I don't know. Is that necessarily, you know, tie it all together even more? I don't know. It's a whole thing for sure. But I don't necessarily know if there's a solution other than just get a TV deal. But alas, I guess we'll have to keep waiting for that. Let's get to the show itself. I assume when you say you watched the top 4, you said the top 4 that got the highest ratings.
QT Marshall versus.
Yes, the last 5, excluding the tag team title match. But I'll quickly go through thoughts on the card itself. Generally, I thought the overall show, Scotty, pretty good show. In fact, a really good show. There wasn't really, I'm not going to say a bad match, but just sort of a whatever match here. It was maybe one of those. But everything else was like solid wrestling, solid, pretty good wrestling. Crowd was hot in 2300 Arena for pretty much the entire show. So a pretty, really solid show. Again, Ring of Honor, these shows tend to be nothing on paper. You know, at first, literally preview was like 5 matches. And then it's like, oh, yep. And then we're going to add a bunch of other stuff that's like really solid, small building wrestling, you know, indie style wrestling that we're just going to like watch and enjoy. It's going to be fun. And that's kind of what Ring of Honor, these shows are. And it succeeded again for me.
I think with Ring of Honor now, you just kind of like, I'm not going to have much hope. But when we get there, see what happens, you know?
Exactly.
Kind of like that feel.
Exactly.
What I saw, I was like, this is why we don't get rid of Ring of Honor.
Exactly.
that was kind of my thought process.
The first match of the show was Hologram and Tomohiro Ishii defeat the premier athletes, Aria Daivari and Tony Nese. Kind of already mentioned it. It was, I thought, a really good match, really good opener. I went like 3.25 on it. Really fun. Very simple match, you know, all 4 people that are like really solid at what they do, obviously. And you know, just a solid opener. Obviously you can be skip it, but you know, pretty solid opener. If anything, the talking point could be what happened on, what was it, Collision last night with Hologram is now there. Did you see these videos? Did you watch Collision, Scotty? Do you see these videos online?
El Clon, is that his name?
I don't know if it's El Clon, but it's a clone for sure. I guess clone is Spanish for El Clon is Spanish for clone.
I saw Clon written a lot. I don't know if it was called El Clon or not, but I did see the name a decent chunk.
Yes. So they are bringing in the sort of Sin Cara Negro, imposter taker, imposter Kane. They're doing that storyline with Hologram where they're bringing in someone else. And the very strong belief online, obviously, is that it's Arez.
That's awesome.
So we get an Arez Aramis match as Hologram and El Clon, I guess. And I'm like, genuinely excited for that.
that is so inviting. That is so exciting. I don't know if there's a different take other than that online, but I think that's awesome. Especially if it is Arez, which seems to be true based on you know, people that may know and the way they've hinted at it. Arez is awesome, and like, that is the type of guy you should sign, repackage, and kind of make Hologram's story. You know, Hologram is 31-0 and he has no story, none. Like, he's just undefeated. That's what he is, which is great. But now he has something, which excites me.
Yeah. Yeah, and we know it's you know, assuming it's a res, we know it's a match type that if you've seen it before, they have extremely great chemistry. They've had great all-time matches before. I think like during the middle of the pandemic, they had like one of my favorite matches of that year during like the middle of the pandemic. And that was great. It was like a five-star match in like a warehouse in Mexico or something like that. They have great chemistry. And yeah. This could work really well. The fact that it's in 2300 Arena gives me those like, you know, those Rey Mysterio psychosis sort of great chemistry vibes that I'm looking for. It could be really fun. It could be really good, interesting story. Like you said, give something for Hologram to do. People are clamoring for more Hologram, for him to do something. Here's something for him to do, and it could really pay off in a probable great match with Arez. Masking up for the first time in his career, I think. But yeah, opener, for what it was, very fine. Ring of Honor World, six-man tag team title match. Shane Taylor Promotions, Carly Bravo, Shane Taylor, and Sean Dean defeat the Sons of Texas, Marshall and Ross Von Erich, who were teaming up with Sammy Guevara. Obviously, Dustin is out, so Sammy was in. And the theme of this match, honestly, was just the crowd turning on Sammy Guevara and saying, you suck. But him working kind of as a babyface, kind of as a tweener to a certain degree, based off what happens later in the show, but very much like working babyface with the Von Erichs, doing the bits of accidentally hitting the Von Erichs off of like a dive, and then Shane Taylor moves out of the way, and then Marshall gets hit or something like that. You know, doing those sort of bits, kind of teeing up everything for later in the show or throughout the show, the story there with Sammy Guevara turning heel on the Von Erichs. And yeah, and then you get Shane Taylor Promotion to win out of it. Solid group
of guys.
Which
I predicted before it was even announced.
That's right. That's right. Solid group of guys. Solid match here. Again, you know, the crowd obviously turning on Sammy Guevara. I think I saw someone, Scotty, and it's more so, and I can maybe we can tie in the tag title match here with Sammy Guevara and Roosh winning the tag titles, defeating the Outrunners, Truth Magnum and Turbo. Sammy turns heel. Another, you know, solid little match here between all four of these guys. Another like 3.25. I got a lot of 3.25 star specials here on the show, which, you know,
that's not a bad thing though for a pay-per-view that was thrown together the day of.
I agree. Someone online said that Sammy Guevara is a phenomenal small building wrestler, especially as a heel.
So what you're saying is he should go back to the indies.
Pretty much. But to a certain degree, that's why he like works so well in Ring of Honor, is because he is really good at connecting with those smaller crowds. And he's really, especially as a heel, the bigger arenas, it just, there's an artifice that comes off for some reason. Maybe it's nerves. I don't know what it is. You think at this point it might not be nerves anymore, but there's something that doesn't quite work. I am glad to see Sammy back as a heel. But, you know, generally speaking, I guess, Scotty, what do you think about Sammy teaming up, turning heel and teaming up with LFI, Drillistico, Beast Mortos, and Roosh?
I think it's a fine spot for him. He was always a better heel. I never liked him as a baby face. I don't know. LFI's booking has never been very consistent. Or
I'd say outside of Beast Mortos.
Right. And even like him, he loses all the time. So it's like he's getting added to a group that loses all the time on AEW TV. But if LFI were to take over Ring of Honor, right, you know, obviously with Bandido as champion, you could set up some big time matches and maybe go back to Roosh versus Bandido. That's a flashback to Sinclair Broadcasting. I think there's definitely avenues there. I don't hate it whatsoever. It's not like it brings him to TV weekly and brings him to Collision maybe every other week, like, which is fine.
I don't
mind it at all, quite frankly.
We know that obviously Tony Khan likes and respects and, you know, Sammy Guevara, all that stuff. So I'm just hoping that it means we get more Roosh on TV, perhaps.
That would be nice. That would really be nice.
Next up, we get the Ring of Honor Women's Pure Title Tournament quarterfinal. This is the first Women's Honor Pure Title Tournament match. As you sort of alluded to already, Scotty, it was announced. Let me see. It was announced in April that he was introducing the Pure Title to the division, and then many months later, after people being announced for the tournament, through the rest of April through May. It was finally in August where the tournament matches were unveiled, and we get the first match here. The first match, of course, Queen Aminata versus Taya Valkyrie. Queen Aminata gets the win. This was the weakest match of the entire show. Not necessarily a bad match. Queen Aminata works really well. I like her a lot. Taya Valkyrie, I think, stepped up to her to the best she could. You know, it was the weakest match, but it was fine for what it is. You know, less than 10 minutes. If you're watching the full show, you can watch it and see how it is. But the tournament itself, Scotty, here, I'd love to get your thoughts on this Ring of Honor Pure Women's Title Tournament. You have, of course, had Taya Valkyrie lose to Queen Aminata, so she's moving on to the semifinals. Then you have whoever's the winner of this facing Queen Aminata, Deonna Purrazzo versus Trisha Dora. You also have Billy Starks versus CMLL's Olympia. And then, of course, you have Serena Deeb versus Yuka Sakazaki. So, Scotty, what do you think of that tournament layout?
Why does this title exist?
Great question. great question.
You know, like, we have the television title, which wasn't defended on the show, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I understand why. Red Velvet's hurt, and I think Mina's the interim. Yep. I think. I didn't watch her entrance, so I don't know if she actually walked out with it or not. I don't know. I was kind of hoping they just forgot about it for good. Because I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's needed. The pure titles aren't needed to begin with. Like, that's the thing. You know, I've been talking about it on this show. Anytime we talk about Ring of Honor, the men's one isn't necessary, let alone adding another one. I just don't see it being useful, because I don't know how many technical wrestlers are in Ring of Honor for either side, not just the women's side. You know, like, on paper it should be Serena Deeb.
Sure.
That is your technical wrestler of all of these. I guess it would be like her and Deonna.
Yeah.
Right.
Trish is pretty technical. Trish Adora, but like,
sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Nothing screams women's pure title, Scotty, like pure wrestling, like Billy Starks in Olympia.
Exactly. I rest my case.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with you.
It's just doing it to do it. And I don't like when we do titles just to do titles.
I agree. What's the value? What's the value in that? We did get the swirl.
There's no value in it. They told you that for the past 6 months.
The swirl, Blake Christian and Lee Johnson defeat the Kingdom, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. This is the Kingdom's return to TV in general, and a losing effort against the swirl. So interesting for them to return to a loss, Scotty. I don't necessarily know what that means. I'm kind of dubious a little bit here, but we'll see. We'll certainly see how it goes. I believe it was also Blake Christian pinning Matt Taven, which I believe.
The Kingdom.
You and I have praised the Kingdom countless times on this program.
I like the Kingdom. Tony Khan doesn't like the Kingdom.
Doesn't like evil. And you know what? Maybe we don't like Tony Khan.
Well, I know I don't. Once he said that evil comment, it was over. I don't know, man. I don't know. It stinks. Like, they're big return and they just lose. Which is fine. You want to build up the young guys in the swirl, I guess. But, like, Blake Christian? Really?
I think Ian Riccaboni put over the fact that Blake Christian has now pinned two former Ring of Honor world champions with Matt Taven.
That's not a good thing to put over. I don't like that.
It's a good thing to put over if you're setting up a match against Bandido.
Yeah, right? But, like, I don't want that on Final Bat.
I agree.
You can't go to Takeshita, Hechicero, Vanilla Baby. Like, you can't.
Unless you should. Unless you think this.
No.
I think, if anything, it's setting up a tag title match, but they're heels, so that doesn't quite work. I would, you know, if you said LFI, I think it should be Bandido Beast Mortos. He's titleless right now, so why not? I think that sounds like a great idea. But yeah, it's interesting for them to win. The Kingdom were obviously cheered, and they weren't the heels. They play heel here, obviously. But it's interesting also to not only make the decision, but then the booking decision of, we're putting the tag titles on heels and Rush and Sammy Guevara. maybe they made that booking decision as a way to like swerve and fake people out that like Sammy's turning heel, but it's like, all right, okay, well, now who's your contender from this show? The contender, I guess, is Hologram and Tomohiro Ishii because they won their opener, and that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I guess. Which is fine. I don't mind the match. I just
Ishii and Roosh will be good if that does happen.
By the way, you want to talk about useless titles? I saw a picture of the Hologram Ishii entrance. Ishii is currently holding the most useless title in the world. Do I just talk about uselessness? Like Ishii probably is tired of holding that damn thing.
So I was doing my updating my calendar with all like the wrestling events and all everything throughout the year.
Yeah, I figured you weren't updating your calendar for like personal events and going to talk about it on here.
Yeah, I was updating birthdays, anniversaries, stuff. I had to make sure my wedding anniversary's on there.
Good.
I don't think they have any New Japan Strong shows planned for the rest of the year. At least of right now.
They don't. Not announced.
Do you think they're quietly shuttling that promotion? That arm?
They should shut it down. There's no reason for it. There's absolutely no reason for it. Mm-hmm. You should do like one or two a year. I talked about this earlier.
Why should it be in Lowell, Massachusetts?
Please don't put it in Lowell, Massachusetts. I didn't go last year, as did most people not going last year. So like,
I always said with
the New Japan Strong brand is it just waters down their product. Like that's what New Japan Strong is when you put it on, it's a watered down New Japan Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Everything about it feels second to what New Japan truly is, whether it be just as simple as the way it looks, mm-hmm. the way it feels. There's no need to continuously do these shows when your number one, number two, and number three focus, if you're New Japan Pro Wrestling, should be Japan. There should be absolutely zero focus on America right now if you're them. There's no reason for it. Your numbers are, compared to what you often are kind of in the dumpster, right? Like, that is what they need to be worried about right now. And it's hard to give any reason of why New Japan Strong should be having another show this year. There's no reason.
Can you name the Strong champions off the top of your head?
Of course I can. Okay. Well, I learned Tomohiro Ishii. I learned that in the past 2 days. If you asked me 2 days ago, I would have said I have no freaking clue. Azumi, I know that one.
Uh-huh.
Because she has the purple belt.
Ooh, who's the tag champions?
That's a great question. Is it a junior tag team?
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Is it Master Wato and Yo?
No.
I think they challenged for them, but I don't know why they would have them. I don't know. Rocky Romero?
No. Also, no. Templario and TJP, if you can believe
what it. I was never gonna guess that. Is that all the champions?
That's what I'm double checking. I'm looking back and I was like, are there more? are there more championships? I don't think there are. To that extent, Scotty, I would like to pitch you this. At the end of the year, maybe this isn't final battle. Maybe this is like you do it in January as like a Wrestle Kingdom, Wrestle Dynasty thing. Maybe not that close, but you know what I mean? ROH versus New Japan Strong. You get Azumi versus Athena.
Sure.
For both titles.
Sure.
You get Roosh and Sammy Guevara versus Templario and TJP.
Sure.
And then you get Bandido versus Tomohiro Ishii.
Sure. I think the Ring of Honor side would win every single match.
and that's how we shut our New Japan Strong.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah, sure.
Why not?
I mean,
I think we can all agree.
Yeah, it ain't gonna sell extra tickets. Like the branding isn't gonna be like, but you know, anything's better than last year's final battle, at least.
Look, and also Ishii versus Bandido. That does something for me, maybe. You know what I mean? That's two guys doing spelling suplexes.
I had an idea for Hologram's payoff, and that was to be the one to beat Bandido.
Yeah, that would be a pretty good one. It's a pretty good payoff.
Like, there's no other spot for him right now on the like title scene in AEW. Like, there's no one you'd have him beat right now in that regard, you know? Like, maybe Fletcher 6 months down the line, but not anytime soon. He's not going to beat Okada. He's not going to beat Hangman, and that's it. That's all your options. So, you know, I think Ring of Honor wouldn't be a bad spot for him. You know, give him that title. I'm sure they want to move Bandido up sooner than later, full-time away from Ring of Honor. I don't need that to be soon either, to be fair, but
it's a good final battle match.
Yeah. Or maybe that's how he loses his first match. Like, I'm fine with that too. It'd be a cool match though, and that's what I'm here for.
Speaking of cool matches, next match up here was Ring of Honor Pure Title Match, Lee Moriarty versus Shewa. Scotty, you haven't seen a lot of Shewa. What are your thoughts?
I like him. That was my takeaway. I like him
a lot.
This match was so much better than Nigel versus Zack Sabre Jr. There you go.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Speak on it.
That was my takeaway. I was like, see, this is like good technical wrestling. that was what I said when I watched it. I was like, no, this is like good technical. Like, I'm interested in this. This isn't like, never mind.
You're less of a world sport British rounds guy. You're more of a, what was it, Yave style kind of submission.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah. Also, I'm here to make a declaration. Declaration? Is that what I want to say?
I think maybe.
Feels right. I don't know. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
You hate peaches? That's the declaration?
Shut up. Lee Moriarty, better than Daniel Garcia. There you go. And I have long been on the Lee Moriarty and Wheeler Yuta, by the way. I don't like Wheeler Yuta. But who's the other killer? Hook? Is that Hook?
Yeah, I think that was the other.
Yeah, he's the best of them all. Yeah, Lee Moriarty is the best of them all.
Are we going to start ranking our killers?
God, no, I don't need to rank them.
Do we have an AEW rank thing? Let me see.
No, I think we always just did New Japan. We may have, like, I don't know. I think we just threw a bunch of people together on AEW's rank thing.
I think that's right. I don't think we did a proper
AEW. But I'm here to say it because Lee Moriarty and Shewa had themselves a nice match here. A very nice match here. Quite enjoyed it. Shewa is obviously very, very good. Very exciting future for him. But I wanted to put some respect on the name of Lee Moriarty because I feel like people have just kind of forgotten about him. And I don't like that. I think he's very talented. I think he's very good. And I think he deserves more than just Ring of Honor eventually. But this is the conversation we're having. If you're not going to push them in AEW, you push them here. And that's what they're doing with Lee Moriarty. So I'm happy about it.
Yeah. He's doing exceptionally well. I went to look at their ages. Lee Moriarty, 30 years old. Shewa, 21.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, Shewa's the exciting prospect. I know that. But
that is, I think that age always shocks me. One, I was shocked by Lee Moriarty's 30. I was like, oh,
well, once upon a time, the killers were all very young, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, they got signed, yeah.
They've been around forever now.
Mm-hmm. And then Shewa, 21 years old, it's like, holy shit, that person is going to be something one day.
Yeah, CMLL has found this fountain of youth and prospects that's very exciting that they just keep finding something, which is always great.
Remember that? Remember that 5-on-5? I think it was 5-on-5. That CMLL match, I think, earlier this year, where they had like the training schools against each other. Yeah, that was like a 5-star match. It was like, well, great. Yeah, more people. They got 10 more people coming up.
They need to. AEW needs to find whatever this Fountain of Youth thing is, because that's like the one bad thing you could say about AEW's roster wise. Well, yeah, they have the Fletchers of the world and things like that.
They got a lot of top mid card, top tier prospects.
Sure, but you want you want main event potential development guys. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it helps that you can just sign whoever the hell you want and instantly fill in your main event very easily.
Sure. To a certain degree, I think they are doing that for like Fletcher. I think that's very
Crazy. Like for every one Fletcher, you have Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, they're doing something with him. They're doing.
They are. They're trying again.
I don't know.
I'll give them that. I just always think back to the Garcia Danielson stuff and just ask myself, what happened? I know what happened. His name is Chris Jericho, but still, you know. Even like you look at like Top Flight and things like that. It's like, you know,
they disappear off the face of the earth. I think
a lot of these people were, you know, going up, and then have only started to trend downward.
Yeah. Well, what sucks about, you know, in comparison to Diego Garcia is that Top Flight at least have an excuse of constant, you know, having all these injuries.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Sidelining them, and then Diego Garcia, I don't think has had an injury this entire time.
No, not that we know of. He's just
yeah.
He did have like that like 6-month run of like not being on TV. That didn't help him.
Yeah. Anyways, Shewa, really good. Lee Moriarty. I really like this match. I really like the submission holds and the invention of submission holds and that, you know, the flow state of this match, if that makes sense to you, Scotty.
Sure.
Just flowing from move to move. I really like, you know, I think Lee Moriarty is a really good pure wrestling style holder, and I like the opening of the match. I really enjoy like the first rope break spot, which is these two guys, and Lee Moriarty over the past several matches in the pure rules contest, he always does stuff where he very quickly forces his opponent to use a rope break. And in this one, he's doing that same trick again, but Shewa is also a big guy a little bit, so he's stopping him and slowing him down, and instead eventually gets his own hold on Lee Moriarty, which he forces Lee to use that rope break. I like it, you know, the idea of using the rope breaks. Obviously, that then culminates in the finish, where Lee Moriarty does an octopus hold, I believe. Or was it the Motor City Stretch? I think it might have been the Motor City Stretch. On Shewa, entangled in the ropes. He's got no more rope breaks, and he just taps really quickly. You can see that desperation a little bit. Really well done, well put together match. Lee Moriarty, obviously really good right now. He's really killing it. Shewa, 21 years old. Jesus Christ, this guy's a prospect.
Exciting prospect at that. Very bright future for him. Very exciting future for him, which is great. Again, CMLL, you know, between Shewa, Dorada, Neon. I mean, those three alone, do I have to continue? I think you get the point. Like, those three are bringing them into the future while you also still have all these other guys. I mean, Silverado Jr. is still very young and just forgotten because he's out with injury, but hard not to be excited for CMLL when you see guys like this. You know, he's not even in the Grand Prix. He didn't, you know, that's where CMLL is right now. Like, there was no room for him. So they sent him to this show to have a big spot, and it paid off.
Yeah. Great for Shewa. Fight without honor. QT Marshall defeats Paul Walterhauser. Is QT Marshall just like the best, I'm going to wrestle against a random celebrity opponent, in history?
I believe so. Yes. I believe that is his, forever gimmick.
His lot in life.
You may not want to watch me wrestle anyone in real wrestling, but boy, oh boy, if there's a celebrity, you're going to want to see me wrestle them.
because it's gonna be great. It's gonna be.
I know you've seen more than one Paul Walter Hauser match.
I've actually only seen one. I thought I've seen more, but when I was putting it through my rating system, I've only had one other match with Paul Walter Hauser.
You were a major leaguer once upon a time.
So I was.
I didn't know if he was dipping his toe there or not
He's very much dipping his toe in MLW.
I'd like to know.
I think he's a part owner in MLW.
I have a question for Paul Walter Hauser. Do you know how successful you are as an actor? Is there a reason you feel the need to do this? Because you're a maniac, dude. Like I was
love
I,
the game, I was, love of the game,
for the guy. Love of the game, for the craziness of the game, whatever for the game.
I don't think I told you this, Scotty, but I'm trying to remember. Yes. So when we were filming, this is a little exclusive, I guess. And you can probably figure out on the timeline. When we were filming Naked Gun, obviously with Paul Walter Hauser in that movie, he wrestled on the weekends. For MLW, he did an MMA cage match against Tom Lawler, and he also was in the Battle Riot for MLW.
That's fascinating.
And I don't know if he wrestled anywhere else. I see that he wrestled in Action at one point, but oh yeah, so he wrestled on another company in a War Chamber match. He wrestled in a three-way at Revolver in Iowa. Against Danhausen and Damian Chambers.
This only further proves my point, though. Like, at least do it in like a bigger promotion. You're a very successful actor. Don't go do the indies, dude.
Yeah,
like come on, man. Didn't he win like an Emmy or something?
Golden Globe. He used it during the
Golden
match.
Globe. Oh yeah, he did. Yeah, duh. I can never remember the names of the awards besides Oscars and Grammys. But like that's my point. The award winner. At least be in, you know, these promotions and not the indies. Like, good for him, man.
Yeah,
that's all I gotta say. Good for him.
Yeah, this match was crazy.
Living out a dream.
100% doing it for the love of the game, and you gotta respect it. And this match, you know, I think started a little slow, but by the end of it was just like crazy nonsense. You had glass boxes, chairs. I really like the spot with the chairs where the classic spot where QT Marshall was on one side of a table with Paul Walter Hauser was on the other. QT Marshall grabs a chair and slides it across. Paul Walter Hauser ducks once, ducks a second chair, and on the third one, instead of doing another chair, he just kicks the table, which goes directly into like QT Marshall's like thighs or legs or something, his shin. And I just thought that was like a very inventive spot. Legitimately, I was like, oh, that's fun. That's a fun little bit of action. But yeah, it's just like, you know, QT Marshall doing like the Randy Orton bump against Mick Foley bump, where he going for a cutter and then drops into a pile of sharp objects and then goes and gets picked up and then does I don't remember what his finisher was, but he does another move into that glass box and gets PWH gets the win. Yeah, love of the game. Ring of Honor is fun because you get to have a cool, pure real rules title match, and then you have a violent, bloody affair right after it. And I thought this match was a lot of fun.
This match to be god awful. So yeah. The fact that it wasn't was a victory in itself.
And it easily could have been. And I think, again, like PWH isn't the greatest wrestler, obviously. He works in MLW. But QT Marshall is able to highlight and promote the positives in these guys, like him, Big Boom AJ. He's putting together these matches that go over so well for these crowds and surprise the crowd so much. He's found this niche where he can just, no one wants to see his matches, like you stated. And I don't necessarily want to see his matches. When I see him on his card, I'm like, oh, who cares? But then he puts together a match.
12 matches this month.
He puts together a match, and it's great. His match construction is great. And the fact that everyone is like, oh, I don't really care, is immediately lowering expectations in every single match that he has, so that when he goes out there on these shows, he kills it. And that's just, you know, he's found a good niche right there.
I just learned he's a champion in progress.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah. He did the Naked Gun. I think he did the Naked Gun red carpet thing wearing the title
with the belt. That's crazy. I mean, good for him, man. That's all I got to say. Good for him.
Yeah, really fun match. Really solid. Not the best like wrestling per se in terms of moves, but I think it was really
God,
fun.
No. Why
really
would it be?
Very creative, I think, in terms of its stuff, but very fun no matter what. Bandido, Hechicero, Ring of Honor World Title Match. Scotty, what'd you think of this one?
You just skipped the tag title match.
We already talked about it earlier.
All right. We're cool. Done talking about it. All right. Sounds good. No, I just making sure. Also, the Outrunners are bad. I didn't watch it. I just wanted to put that out there. This match was incredible. That's my main takeaway. This match was incredible. Bandido is arguably the best men's wrestler in the world right now. And I think it's hard to deny him of that, you know? This match went 36 minutes and 28 seconds. And it felt as epic as they wanted it to feel. I don't know. Bandito's the guy. Like, everything he does is must-see. And it's everything you hope for when he originally signed with AEW, right? Like, everyone said, like, his can be the next great luchador for years to come. And he sure feels like that. And I think going all in on him as that is very smart on the AEW atmosphere. I've seen a lot of people talk about this. Like, he may not be next up in terms of like AEW world champion or something, but he should be the first luchador to win that belt. I don't know when. I don't know if it's a year or two or right. I don't really, but it's true. Like, this is the best luchador in the world. It's not, I don't think it's up for discussion. I think he's that great. I think he's that special. He's having a match with Takeshita like he did, you know, last month or whatever. Now he's having this match with Hechicero, which is a very different match, but still the epic that it is. They were awesome. Awesome, awesome match. And the fact that it's free on YouTube is a beautiful thing.
And speaking of, they also made that Takeshita match free on YouTube like a month or two ago as well.
Yeah, like that's how you get people interested in Ring of Honor, is just show them Bandido. That's it.
I want to say one thing about Bandido that I noticed, that he always kind of has had, but I think is something that he has developed since working a lot of CMLL, specifically one, Místico.
Místico.
He has developed a Místico-esque quality in his crowd control.
It's a good thing.
Everyone in the crowd loves him.
Mm-hmm.
Any spot he does, the crowd is completely there for. He knows how to get the crowd on the side. You know, the crowd's like dunking on Don Callis the entire match. And then a certain bit, Bandito's on the outside. The crowd's, you know, saying F you, Don Callis. Bandito, what he does, he just turns to Don Callis and starts doing double birds. And it's just like, again, and then it makes the crowd be like, yeah, this is our guy because he agrees with us, right? Mm-hmm. And he's got that. He is doing these little things like the surfboard stretch when he's like hulking up almost halfway through it and core strengthening his way up. Like, Hechicero then immediately does that spot next, and the crowd, there's no reaction. But the crowd is fully there, fully present. Mystic Bandido is getting and learning from Místico underneath that learning tree. Not that one. But underneath the Místico learning tree, and he's developing this level of crowd connection that I think is like elevating him even more in my eyes. This is a guy that's already great at what, how old is he? Is he like 30 now at this point? Yeah, he's finally 30. He's ready.
He's not even in his peak yet.
No, he's not. And all this stuff is doing is helping him develop even more that, you know, now we have these AEW tag titles on the guy. He's going to be on AEW TV even more. Like, there's going to be a point, like you said, with the world title, that we're going to slowly develop into this point where we're going to get an arena, 10,000 plus people or so, an arena, Scotty, of just the sheer American, let's say, quote unquote, version of Mystico and Bandito where we're going to have 10,000 people screaming his name and going crazy for the guy. And I think that is a true potential reality for him. That I cannot wait for that to happen. Who is he going to beat? I don't know. He's got to face like a big heel. That makes me feel MJF. Kyle Fletcher is great. Kyle Fletcher is a great pick.
I feel like those two are kind of moving forward together. If that makes sense.
Sure.
You know, their ascent is happening at a different time. It's very unique because obviously Bandito's holding a world championship as we speak. Mm-hmm. But I think that ascent is happening and you're seeing it with those two. If there's a way to create them as rivals, you try to do it, you know, that type of thing. I think with Bandito, you're witnessing in real time what WWE hoped for a long time, what just I think America hoped for a long time, right? You know, for so many years it was who's going to be the next Rey Mysterio, and Bandito's not Rey Mysterio, okay? No. Plain and simple, and that's a good thing. But in terms of your next great luchador in America, Bandito is that.
Yeah.
It feels like that. You know,
he probably already is that to a certain degree.
He probably is. I just want to see it now fully
captured.
And he needs to stay healthy. That's always the big thing with the luchadors, right? It's like, well, wrestlers, not just luchadors, but, it, you know, with him specifically, because he missed so much time, you do have to bring that conversation up. And obviously his injury was very unique, and it just kept getting worse and things, but he can be that guy. He can be that next luchador who is the world champion of a major American promotion, you know?
Yeah.
And I want him to be that. I think he's going to be that. And if he's going to put on performances like these, he will be that. Because that's how good he is. And it feels like he's just getting started, which is terrifying considering how good he already is.
Yeah, I fully co-sign that theory, Scotty. I think he is obviously next up and coming. I mean, we're obviously talking all about Bandito here. Hetchicero, no slump in this match.
Yeah, but, yeah. I don't want to disrespect him. He was fantastic.
We big Hetchy fans over here. That you know, and shouts out to Bandito as well. You have the barricade spot where they do the, I think it was like the Code Red or some sort of Mexican destroyer or something on the barricade.
It was a suplex.
Was it just? Wait, oh, you're right. It was a suplex.
Yeah, it was just a suplex.
That rule. They both take that bump, bounce off onto the ground. It's just that looked awful. But then it got topped by Hetchicero doing like his spinning, like almost like an Alabama slam spinning sort of thing, and just. Bandito flies in the air and lands on the back of Hetchicero and flies backward. This is, by the way, off the apron onto the ground. It just looked awful. It looked great. In a great way. Just like the ability. If I were to say one negative. Now, Scotty, I like this one more than the Takeshita match. And I went 4.75 on this bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to give one quarter star deduction, and it does play into the match to a certain degree, I just think at the very end both guys got a little blown up and their spots get a little bit sloppier, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes in wrestling I think that there's a commentator like Ian Riccaboni did pick up on it, and I think it's a thing that you have to do as a commentator, that like, look, 30 minutes deep, the ability that these guys are wrestling at, the and the high flying and the hit moves and the striking, it hits your chest, you're going to lose your breath. The endurance has to be a factor of these matches, and to a lot of times they can play into it. However, I didn't feel like it played into it in necessarily in a positive way. I think it kind of slightly detracted in terms of spot construction in the moment, in terms of getting blown up a little bit, but you know, that's my one tiny gripe with this. For an otherwise perfect match, right? Yeah. I think this is another bona fide classic for Bandito.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I think that's very fair. You notice that when they were trying to do the holds at the end, they were just like, okay, we have done a lot here. we are tired. Because there's a certain point in this match where they go, you know, they're going for really the majority of the match, but they were just 100% for like a 10-minute span before they got back in that ring. It's like, all right, let's get to this finishing stretch. So yeah, that would be like my one detraction as well. But
yeah,
you know, forget the nitpicking. It was an incredible match. You know, at the end of the day, it's an incredible match, an incredible performance between these two, and it's the sign of everything you need to know regarding Bandido. It's one of the best matches of the year between this and the Takeshita match alone. It's just an incredible run that he's on. But if you really want to, you know, just look at what he's done this year since he's come back into the fold. I mean, he's doing it in singles matches. He's doing it in tag matches. You know, like, that is just where he's at in his career right now. The Takeshita match was a 9.46 on Cage Match. This is right now at a 9.51. The Máscara Dorada match, which I adore, from CMLL, is a 9. Like all three of those matches are some of my, like, if you were to ask me what are my favorite matches from this year, those are comfortably on the list, all three of them. Yeah. And they're all vividly different matches, which I think I love, right? This was the epic. The Takeshita match was the fireworks, and the Dorada one was the, you know, the Lucha, you know,
speed, let's all say, out, you know,
Lucha speed, CMLL, Super Viernes main event style, right? Yeah. Like, they're all very different, but they're all fantastic. And again, they just embody what he has become, which is this undeniable, unbelievable wrestler. If I'm Tony Khan, I'm trying to put him in as many big matches as possible.
Yeah.
All the time. That's why going with Brodito was so smart, right? Like, just embracing them as a tag team is so exciting. And you're going to get more of that now. It's pretty incredible what he is already, I think.
Yep, agreed.
Because, like I said, he missed so much time. He didn't rest. He essentially missed 2 years. He was out from June 2023 until February 2025. And it took him a little bit of time to, you know, get his legs under him. And he's really been lift off, I think, since pretty much the Dorada match. Like, it's just been, you know, once he got to return to CMLL, it just was a difference maker for him.
I think he's hit a next gear for sure.
Yeah. Which is obviously awesome. You know, like, it's exactly what you want to see out of a guy who has always been seen as super duper talented.
Agreed.
He also has the Místico match, which is like a great match too. It's just not like, you know, the match of the year levels that he's done with the others, but like, I don't want to take away from that. Or the Hologram versus Dorada Místico match. Like, he's got the tags, he's got the singles. He's just incredible, man.
Yeah.
He deserves underrated, all the praise.
Weirdly underrated year, I feel like. It's like under the radar to a certain degree.
Like, yeah,
because it's Ring of Honor.
I'd also like to say this with Bandido, or with this show. Insane putting this second, by the way. Like, if you knew they were going 37 minutes, which you did, you put the card together, you allowed them to put the match together, you have to just put it last. Like, obviously, it's great for Athena and Mina. But the match Athena and Mina had would have been perfectly fine. Like, it would have been really good in the semi. Like,
yeah, it got it. You know? I was just going to have to bring that up. Athena defeats Mina Shirakawa to retain the Ring of Honor Women's World title. 100% gets hurt by the semi main event.
It was a good match, too. But
very good match.
That crowd took a long time to have to get into it. Had you flopped these, I think both matches are. Well, this match is what it was. It wasn't going to get elevated more, but I think Athena and Mina would have been elevated just because the crowd would have been like, oh, all right, that was 37 minutes. Let's, you know, I think I couldn't believe it when I read Mina and Athena were main eventing like the night of, and I was like, that's weird. Okay, whatever. So
it's
like,
weird, but it's also like what they've been doing for Ring of Honor is having a
main event. Which, is fine. Don't get me wrong. It's fine. I understand like her reign and things like that, but like this just felt oddly done.
Yeah.
It felt like an odd one to do it for. You know, Supercard of Honor, she didn't main event.
No, it was Takeshita because we're pushing Takeshita.
Right, but like
final battle, she did main event.
Yeah.
Like, against Bailey, of course.
For me, Athena should main event if the opponent makes sense to main event, but I guess they're double champions technically in Ring of Honor, so maybe that's why.
Plus, it's also the thing of Athena's with this win is more than likely gonna break, you know, be a champion for 1,000+ days. So it's like there's too.
Who could possibly care at this point? But yeah, you're right.
So it's a lot of.
Sorry, I have to say it. Like
I don't disagree.
You know, I don't know. My
very
care.
Very solid match. I think it went like 3 3/4. A match that like
it was quite good. Like
very good.
It was one of Mina's best U.S. showings. Period. Like since she started wrestling here. Maybe her best singles off the top of my head in the US. I watched them back to back and I was like, why is this the main event?
Yeah. It's the main event because on paper it should be the main event, but in reality it's like, oh no, it should not have been. And that's good, not to say against Athena, I mean a shout out Kawa. It's just Bandito and Hachisero.
It was set up to hurt them. It was also set up to hurt them in many ways. I don't want them to get hurt by that. I want them to have the full crowd. And they won them over by the end, which is a credit, again, to both of them.
Yeah.
Very good match, though.
Ring of Honor, obviously, they have final battle at the end of the year. Final battle is going to be December 5th. It's going to be there. But they have another show, I guess, in co-production in the 2300 Arena with Action Wrestling because they're doing another Dean show. They're announcing wrestlers for it. I saw Shewa. I saw Blue Panther. They're in the process of announcing a bunch of people. Dr. Cerebo and Helico, Nicole Matthews, Virus, Matt Mako. But the only match they've announced so far is Damus versus Mad Dog Connolly in a hair versus hair match. This is a match that they did in their first Dean show in a dog collar match. Now they're doing it again as hair versus hair. So that's a match that very much intrigues me. It should be very solid. I hope this puts Mad Dog Connolly, at least, on the American stage a little bit higher, especially on this bigger stage.
The problem with Ring of Honor this year also, and which is why I brought up the topic of we have to decide what we're doing with it, the first pay-per-view wasn't until July.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Like, there should be a show... There should be another in February, and then
in their defense, this was the first year they moved Supercard of Honor away from April.
Yeah, but they moved it twice.
Yes.
You know, like that was the problem. They moved it and then they moved it again. So like have a pay-per-view before any of that. Especially because
I think if you're gonna keep Supercard of Honor in July now for All In Weekend, you have to do one earlier, like March or something.
And like AEW doesn't You don't need to do Supercard of Honor on All In Weekend, by the way. You can just do a different, you can do Death Before Dishonor. Like, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. It doesn't need to be that card. I know why they do it, you know, but like this show again shows why they should do more or just commit. Like, AEW doesn't do a pay per view after World's End until what, February?
Yes. Well, Wrestle Dynasty, I guess.
That's not a guarantee to happen next year.
Yeah, I don't think they've announced it yet, have they?
I doubt they do. It wasn't successful.
Yeah. Might have the match of the year, but it's successful in the sense of like reviews, I guess. But even
but it wasn't successful in terms of people interest. And at the end of the day, all interest is going to go into Wrestle Kingdom again anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, as it should.
Because Tanahashi's retirement, and that's what people in Japan care about. I would separate that from Kingdom again. Like this is these are the conversation points. You want to move these things and start. What Tony Khan needs to do is set his schedule for the year ahead of time. I know things come up. I know things change. I know WWE sucks and they like to take advantage of that. I get that. You don't have to announce everything, but be pre-scheduled so you don't have to move Ring of Honor and do this with Ring of Honor, right? AEW can do whatever you want. I think they were notably scheduled all out, but I think they had the whole year pretty scheduled early on, right? Like, I remember them announcing pretty much all the big shows this year ahead of time.
Yeah.
So, like, just do that with Ring of Honor. Don't just kind of pop them up, you know? People are going to be more interested the more you put on, good shows like this at the end of the day. Like, that's what's going to win you over at the end, is just great shows. And I think that's, you know, Wrestle Dreams in October and Full Gears in November, and you have World's End sometime, December 27th?
Yeah.
And then you already have Grand Slam planned for next year. And you have All In planned for next year. So, like, you got to head with it with Ring of Honor.
Ring
of Honor doesn't need to be a day-by-day process.
No. And, you know? Like, at this point, I think we're asking for the AEW original schedule, which is at least quarterly, right? You know, they have three a year right now. Throw in at least one more show, please. That's all I'm asking.
Why aren't you doing a Ring of Honor pay-per-view in Australia, like, as part of the house rules thing?
Yeah. Now, technically, they did Global Wars Australia. They also did a Global Wars Mexico this year. And that's, you know, kind of something. It wasn't a pay-per-view, but it's a special, you know.
I think that's a good thing to do.
Agreed.
But again, I still think another one or two pay-per-views is also a good thing to do.
I agree. Speaking about international shows, Stardom has a show this Saturday. Stardom to the World is happening this Saturday. We have,
I don't know what that name means, by the way. Thank you for asking.
What's that?
The name makes no sense. Continue.
Stardom, they're presenting themselves, Stardom to the World. It should be have a comma. Stardom, comma, to the world. on the website so far, I have four matches announced.
Don't worry. Everything else that's announced is not going to be worth your time.
Oh, I can only imagine. And Scotty, by the way, if you thought that my pronunciation of names was difficult, the auto-translate...
Mayumi Ozaki.
What's that?
It's Natsuko Tora versus Mayumi Ozaki. That's
yes,
the one that's
I figured as
you.
Much that I figured out that they do the last name first name backward, you know, all that stuff. But I also see they have some stuff in here, like Kamiya Saya is basically one person.
Thankfully for you, you know her name.
Yes, of course. So I'll go through here and do my best. So we have, of course, special singles match in Natsuko Tora versus Mayu Ozaki. We have IWGP Women's Champion.
No, we're not going through them all. I need to say something.
Okay.
That match is, like, for everything Stardom's doing good right now, that match is the epitome of not making sense with their booking when it comes to hate again.
Great.
Because Mayumi Ozaki is famously a heel. Famously. Like, that has always been her thing. And she's not going to be cheered in Stardom. She's an outsider. Why would she be cheered? So again, I'm pretty sure a hate wrestler is going to be cheered. And I just have to ask, is this the point? Like, we have to find a point here where you need to know what you're doing with your top heel faction. Are we turning them babyface together, or are we committing to them being still heels? I can tell you the answer. They're still going to be heels.
Yeah,
but like, this match is so mind-numbing to me. Anyways, continue.
IWGP Women's Championship match, Suri versus Suzu Suzuki. I mean, this is a big circle if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, that's the match that's all about, really. That's what this show's about.
What the five-star was about, is this match, in my opinion.
Yeah, getting us here.
Yeah. Yeah. This should be, hopefully, great. I think it can be. So I'm excited for that one. Wonder of Stardom Championship match. Another one that's going to have a big old circle for me. Starlight Kid defending against Tomiaka Inaba. Got another big time circle. I love the Inaba. I love Starlight Kid. Should be really good. I think it should be really good.
Should be good. Can't say that about the main event.
Main event. World of Stardom title match. Kamiya Saya, of course. Saya Kamitani versus B Priestley. How was, I don't think we really talked about it when we went to the five-star Grand Prix conversation. How was D. Priestley this year?
Not good. she got better as it went.
Okay. She warmed up to the, or she remembered.
But she still be a Priestley.
Like, she's like 5, 6, 7 years older, a knee injury ago.
Yeah. Yeah. All these things are true.
Yeah. That's a shame.
She's also signed full time now. So,
oh, okay, great.
Great.
I expected that, honestly. I expected that to probably happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's only, she's 29 years old.
Yeah, she's wicked young, dude. She's been youthful forever. So good for her. You know, there's still something there from her to maybe unlock. But they're giving her the biggest match possible in a match that, mind you, again, I don't see the hate member being booed. I can't stress that enough. Like, yeah.
Do you think B's winning?
No, not even a little.
Signed a contract?
No. Couldn't be less worried about that because Momo won the 5-star.
Fair point. You're not excited for Momo versus B Priestley?
There is history there, but no, not even a little.
There is history. Interesting.
There is history there, Queen's Quest and whatnot. But no, I'm good.
What's Queen's Quest? I haven't. Are they?
No, they're not, actually. Thank you for asking.
Do they have a flag?
No. No. Saya Karatani does have one now. But no. This is a it's a mixed bag show. You look at the three top matches, I think two of them for sure deliver, and then it's a matter of what can B Priestley do in a main event setting that she didn't show me in the 5-star.
Yeah,
that's really what I'm asking. I don't her and Sai had a match, so they can build off of that.
And how was that?
It was okay, which honestly was kind of all I could ask for, especially since knowing I knew B was pinning Sia, so like, you know, you're saving stuff. You're saving something. Is this the first world title match I would do out leaving the 5-star with all this momentum? No, but you know, Stardom's in a place where that doesn't matter, so they can do that. I don't know. I'm very excited for the other title matches, obviously. That's what I'm here
for. Starlight Kid and Suri versus those challengers.
Reminds me. Give me 1 second. I need to find something.
Sure. Well, I'm just going to quickly, slowly wrap things up as we get to it. Scotty looks for that. We're going to wrap things up here, about an hour, 90-minute episode. So, again, apologize for the short length. Not a lot of topics. There was no real big news things. Clash in Paris happened right before we recorded, and Scotty didn't have a chance to watch it, and I didn't want to watch it. So we're just going to slowly wrap things up as Scotty presents.
Like to see a little show and tell
for our audio listeners. Go ahead, Scotty.
Would you like to see a wonderful gift I received?
Sure. Is it from B Priestley yourself? Oh, what is that? Red. That's a red sari. Is that a towel?
It's a sari Inoki towel.
Now, baby. Now you just need to put it next to your Katsuhiko Nakajima one, and we're in business. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Is it still in the packaging? It's still its wrapping. Have you considered opening it, or is it staying in the packaging?
I'm going to open it eventually.
Where in your background is it going to drape?
Probably going to hang like right where the Bandito minion is.
Sure. I have a Shibata wrestler towel.
Yeah.
Right of me.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to show it because
it's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
They don't sell them. They're a cool gift.
Do we have a shout out to who gifted it to, or is that anonymous?
Probably figure it out.
Interesting. Gotta be Nakajima, I guess. Number one. let's wrap things up here. Thank you everybody for listening to this week's episode of Ring Post Radio. We'll be back next week for sure on Sunday, I have to imagine, morning. I don't think we'll do anything other than that. Sunday morning, we'll be back next week talking about Action Dean, starting to the world, previewing I guess we got to do it. The AAA WWE Worlds Collide show that's also happening. And also probably previewing the Marigold Dream Star Grand Prix Finals. Even though it's a week out, but we can probably talk about it. Scotty, give us some plugs. Give us your match of the week.
Yeah. Plugs. Follow me at Scott E Wrestling on Twitter and Blue Sky. Check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@ScottEWrestling. Got a review up there from the Margo Corkin on Saturday. Got my usual Joshi podcast. I'll have a lot of good fun content once all the tournaments are over and such. And yeah. Other than that, my match of the week was Utami Haishishita versus Mayu Iwatani from the Saturday Dream Star Grand Prix show. Easily the match of the tournament. I have nothing left. Thank you, everybody, for the short show. We got to get Ryan out of here, so I'm going to shut the hell up.
Real quickly, was that the towel you received? Was it signed?
In the bag, dude. No.
Yeah, what a mark. What a mark, not even getting signed. What the heck?
It wasn't from someone for it to be signed.
Oh, okay. Nakajima didn't want to sign it?
No, why would it? No, it was just a nice gift someone sent me that they got, you know.
Okay. My match of the week is going to be, I try to catch up on a little bit of the bigger Noah matches. Because I haven't watched them in a while, you know, and by that I mean the Ozawa losing the title to Kano losing the title to Kenta. Those were both great matches. And one of them I went like 4.25 on, but I'm actually going to go to a 4-star match that happened on earlier this week on the 25th in Noah. This was the Muhammad Yone 30th anniversary show for the 30th anniversary of wrestling, debuted in 1995. Main event matchup was Atsushi Kotoge, Go Shiozaki, and Shuji Ishikawa versus Daisuke Ikada, Muhammad Yone, and Naomi Shimura Fuji. A 4-star match, a great match, Scotty. Go out of your way to watch it. It's a quick 20 minutes. There's a point where Daisuke Ikada does a running, flying headbutt and then sells his head hurting. And then he does like 7 headbutts in a row to the point where his head splits open and he's just bleeding all over the place. And it ruled. A really, really, really hard-hitting affair. Go Shiozaki chops Muhammad Yone in the first like 2 minutes, Scotty, to an 11th degree where Yone's chest is already red from Go Shiozaki's handprints. So very hard hitting. If you love that sort of older, like hard hitting style, I guess that stronger style of strikes and everything, you're going to enjoy this match, especially from mostly 6 older guys. Very, very fun. Great match. So go check that out. Plugs. Follow us, follow Ring Post Radio, wherever you get podcasts, subscribe to the Countout Network YouTube channel. To make sure you can watch the live version, the video version of this feed, and listen to all the other shows on the Countout Network. Thank you, Roddy, for listening to this week's episode. You can follow us on social media. I think that's all of our plugs. And like we said, we'll be back next week talking about Action Dean, talking about Stardom, probably previewing the finals as much as we can for Marigold's Dream Star Grand Prix, WWE AAA Worlds Collide, probably. And that's pretty much it. Until next week, we'll talk to you all later. Goodbye, everybody.
This has been a Countout Podcast. Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker dealer.